Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sister who sang on the cabaret side for a lot of years, and she used to say to me, you know, you've got a good voice, you could be, instead of, you know, knocking the rump out of yourself in the post office doing all that overtime, you could be out earning decent money, good money, you know, on the music scene. And I just wasn't interested, you know. I think I was about 27, 28 years old, yeah, about 28 years old when all this happened, and I remember I was always an Elvis fan for a little boy, and so they pushed me up. I was very, very reluctant to get up, and I was petrified. I remember shaking, and they pushed me up, and so I got up and I sang The Wonder of You and Suspicious Minds, and the place blew up. Everybody loved it, and I remember running out to the little back room where the cigarette machine was. And I wasn't even a smoker. I just needed to get a cigarette into me to calm down. I had loose change, pound coins all over the floor, trying to get these cigarettes. And the entertainment manager, MC, he, by that season, called the next singer. It was more or less like a big sing-along. And he came down into the room to me, and he says, "Hey, kid, are you a singer? Are you in a band?" I said, I told him what happened. You know, I literally, the blood drained out of me. I literally sliding down the wall, just trying to get a puff of a cigarette. And I explained to him that it was all a big prank. And he looked at me in amazement, and he just said, "Kid, you pulled that place apart, didn't you?" He said, "You learn a half a dozen songs, and I'll put you on here Saturday night."
Wow.
And pay. And that's how I got into music.
That's incredible.
But how long did it take for you to start enjoying it? Was it that second gig, or was it quite some way down the line?
No. I don't have an uncle who had returned from London. I had relatives. Actually, I have a famous relative in London who was in EastEnders, in and out of EastEnders through the years. You know, Jacqueline Jossa.
Oh, yeah.
Max Browning's.
Yes.
Well, her mother and I are full cousins, so that makes Jacqueline a second cousin, you know, more or less. But, they had returned back to Belfast after they left Belfast because of all the going back to the troubles and to get away from the conflict. So I've got lots of cousins throughout London, you know, and... what was the question?
When did you start enjoying it? When did you start really getting into it? Because obviously you blew the place up and you hadn't even given them a shimmy yet.
Well, my uncle Pat, he had become like a substitute for her. I lost my father at 19. So we were frequenting this place after this happened, and we were going there every week. It was a real working man's club, you know, the Dockers. It was a Dockers deep sea divers club, you know. So, but it had a great. In fact, the number one equity branch is meetings are held there in the Dockers club. It's well known for the equity union, I was, even though it scared the life out of me, frequent the place each week, it was inevitable that people would call me up. And so I started expanding on repertoire and did what he requested for me to learn some new songs to pay me. And I started, after, maybe a few times of getting this buzz, because I was seeing people's reaction in the audience, and they were just, when you get that feedback from an audience, you probably know that by being presenters and television work and all that, it tends to give you a lift. And so it felt good putting happiness into other people's lives through music. So, and then, I don't know whether you're aware of, Bob Kennedy?
No.
Singer-songwriter?
No.
Bob Kennedy was the front man of a band called Energy Orchard from Belfast.
Okay.
Who did quite well. They were signed to FCA Records. Well, I worked in the post office with two of Bob's brothers, Jim and Stuart, and Jim had heard me sing and told Bob about this guy. But Bob was based in London as a singer-songwriter, and his albums, he toured with Dire Straits and Steve Earle and a lot of people. Shane McGowan, he was a very respected singer-songwriter from Belfast, so he was home on a visit family, for the long weekend. And when Bob told me, when Jim said to him, I work with this guy, I sing like Elvis. Bob said, yeah, right, get on. No, nobody sings like Elvis, One of those things, just burst it off. So, but he took him down to the club anyway, and within, I'd finished getting a couple of songs, as per usual, learning the ropes, and he approached me, and he said, put his hand out, he said, I'm Doc. And I said, I know who you are. I saw you coming in with Jim, and I'm a fan of your music, So he said, let me buy you a drink. It was a fan at the table, and he said, will you come to London with me and record an album?
Wow.
Just like that. And he said, I've been an Elvis fan all my life, and I've never heard anybody so close to the man as what you just did there when I heard my jaw hit the floor. So I said, well, record what, Buck? I said, because you can't repaint the Mona Lisa. The master's already made the masterpieces. There's no point in recording Elvis songs. So I pitched to him. I said, well, funny enough, there has been songs that I've always thought that, as an Elvis fan, I'd love to have heard Elvis cover. Was the Sex Pistols version of Eddie Cochran's Something Else, which I bought I still have the 45 vinyl, even up to this day, it's still in great condition. And he loved that idea. Well, Elvis does punk rock. And so he then bounced off me with Nirvana. He says, are you a Nirvana fan? I said, well, I wouldn't say I was a full-blown fan, but I do like, this song. It Smells Like Teen Spirit. I do like Come As You Are. And I said, well, I think Come As You Are would be a good one to cover. And so that was it. We finished the drinks and exchanged phone numbers. He flew back to London. And within a few days, he was playing a gig. And I think a place called Filthy McNasty's, which is real. A lot of Irish frequent.
I know Filthy McNasty's. Yeah, that's famous.
I think there's one in Hackney and there's one in different parts of London. So they played there every Wednesday night. So after he flew back to London after the weekend, he played his gig and told his musicians what we were talking about, what we were putting together. And they all loved the idea. So everybody started pitching in. So Bob had rang me the next day after the gig, and he basically said, Jim, telling the guys about it, and everybody thinks it's a great concept. And I said, what do you think about doing a Bob Marley song? And I laughed on the other end of the phone, and I thought, yeah, why not? Elvis could sing anything. He could sing the phone book, with the shopping list. His voice is so adaptable to different genres and music. And so it was at that point I realised, I said, but I'm just realising that they're all deceased. You know, Bob Marley, Kurt Cobain, and Eddie Cotton, Sid Vicious, they're all dead. So he went, F me. So they are. And he bounced off me, but he went, suddenly he went, like he said, Jimi Hendrix, and I said, Jim Morrison. And we started going through the 27 Club. And, you know, I was a music lover, he was a singer-songwriter, and we had a genuine love and respect for all the artists that we covered on the album. It was just the biggest shock of my life. I didn't think an album of covers would take off the way it did. You know, TFI Freddy six times. And,
wow.
Toured all over Europe and America, and performed alongside, you know, Robbie Williams. You know, just it was an incredible journey. You know, it's still going on. You know, I just got back from a show in Germany at the weekend there, so I'm still plugging away at it.
Come as you are, as a friend, as I want you to be, as a friend, as a friend, as a
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Whack for my daddy, oh. Whack for my daddy, oh, yeah. There's whiskey in the jar.
People haven't forgotten that album either. When we started talking about getting you on the show, we're like, Gravelands, we've got that. It's a classic. Yeah. It's one of my favourites. My nephew is absolutely obsessed with you and knows these other songs now because Elvis sings them. And it's like, no. Well, I'm not going to explain it to you. But yeah, he does a mean impression of you. So you're bringing...
Hang on a minute. So there's people doing impressions of Jim doing Elvis. Okay, all right. I get that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. My nephew, George, is Jelvis. But you actually went to Graceland. Tell me that story because I've heard it. Like, yeah.
I want to go.
I've been to Graceland about 8 times through the years. This all happened in 97. Bob and I, we put the album together in the summer of 97, and then by that December, Rough Trade had asked me to do the Christmas party.
Oh, God, I bet that was wicked.
So Joey Ball, Jarvis Cocker, you know, there was a lot of people there that I'd sung, and that was a funny story. It was like something out of the film, because this was my first gig, live gig in London, and Bob knew I was petrified. I had this terrible stage fright problem, like Kirsty MacColl, God love, rest her. And So he put these Elvis glasses on me before the day on stage to hide the fear and the whites of the eyes. Because I could hear this group of young men, near the front of the stage, all chanting, "The king is dead, the king is dead," and I thought, "Oh shit, I'll die on my ass when I go out here." I was really shaken, petrified. And the opening number was "Come As You Are," the Kurt Cobain track, the first song on the album. And it was like, all the king is dead. And as soon as I opened my mouth to sing, you could just see the facial expressions. The king is the king is alive. It was like something out of a movie, it would make a good comical scene, like something like The Commitments, that kind of.
I would watch that movie. You've listed three things there, right? Being shoved on. I would watch that movie. You've listed three things there that would be great plot points, right? Getting shoved
they
on stage.
They made a Paul Potts movie. I'd rather watch this.
Definitely. Shoved on stage, snapped up by a record producer, then this. Just wonderful.
Jim, what happened at Graceland?
Because there was some. When I signed the record deal with EMI, that was when I got first advance. That was the first thing I did, was because all I wanted to do as a kid was, you ask a primary seven, 11-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it would be, I want to play for Manchester United, I want to play for Arsenal, or, Well, they asked me the question, and the answer was, when I grow up, I want to go to see Elvis in concert.
Beautiful.
I just fell in love with the man as a child. And the funny thing was, both my parents didn't like him. And they grew up through that period. They witnessed his arrival. As Paul McCartney once said, the Messiah has arrived.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get that. I remember my father, God rest him, saying, "Elvis's head's full of wee white mice." Nat King Cole is the man with the voice, Nat King Cole, Johnny Mathis, and the Rat Pack and all that brigade, which are all fantastic singers too, which I love. I love a bit of everything musically, I bought two tickets for my wife and I, and we went straight to Memphis. To me that was the consolation prize of not witnessing the great walkout on the stage, that magic that man could convey, the charisma that he had. Yeah.
Now, a little bird told me there was an incident when you were at Graceland. Maybe I'm wrong in the location. Maybe I'm sketchy on the details. But it was a CD came over to you. A woman came over with a CD she wanted you to sign. Is that right?
I don't.
Wasn't it for
Priscilla?
Here's the thing. Wasn't it for Priscilla? Everybody. Did you sign one for Priscilla?
No. What you're talking about. For a laugh, I signed the CD and left it in the kitchen. That's what I did.
Jim, what is... Listen, I'm only just getting into Elvis, right? I've been reading about him and I've watched That's the Way It Is, mm-hmm. Elvis on Tour.
Did you watch the Kurt Russell one?
No, I'm not that desperate.
I quite like that.
I'm looking forward to the new movie. What is your favourite Elvis period?
I would have Elvis right across the board.
Right, okay.
Because in the 50s he was like an alien. He was a threat to the establishment, and the sideburns, the greaseback hair, he looked dangerous, and which was cool, And then in the 60s, a lot of Elvis movies were kitschy, and the soundtracks weren't the best, but he didn't want to sing in his movies at all. But there are a lot of those movies that are great, musically and, to watch and family viewing. And then in the 70s, when his voice matured and he shot up into the tenor range with big powerballs like American Trilogy and Lord, You Gave Me a Mountain, that man could go from bass baritone maybe right up into tenor.
For me, the thing about Elvis, he was a decent actor. He wasn't a great actor. He was a decent actor. They just gave him shit films. Jailhouse Rock and King Creole, they're great movies. Yeah. And he's kind of...
Well,
Go on, Jim.
Sorry, go ahead. Walter Matthau, I saw him in an interview once, and he said, for this kid who didn't have any acting in any drama school, or, you know, he handled himself pretty well, and that he could have been a Hollywood great if he had have done what he wanted. You know, he loved James Dean and Martin Brando, and he wanted to be taken seriously as an actor. Elvis did not want to sing in his movies at all, but they made him. Yeah. You know, it's Carl Parker had a lot to do with that too, of keeping the formula going. Of, you know, especially throughout the '60s, some of those movies were shot in 2 weeks.
Yeah, to save money. I mean, who wants to see? Is it Double Trouble where he plays twins?
He's twin, yeah.
I mean, they were
kissing cousins.
Kissing cousins. All right, but the thing is, right, when Elvis was in control, he was brilliant. I mean, I'm not a big fan of 50s Elvis, but I get why he changed everything, right? And when he was in control, he was great. The movies, The Colonel, 68 Christmas Special. That was Elvis going, no, I ain't going to sing Christmas songs. I want to do this. The 69-70 shows in Vegas were him. And when he was in control, he was unbeatable. But then he got lazy and drugs, you know, the drugs and all of the yes men. And he was also nervous. If you watch Aloha from Hawaii, right, which is beamed live to 1 billion people, you can see he's nervous.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. He's still amazing, but...
It frightened the life out of him, because he couldn't believe that he was going to do like a global satellite broadcast, you know, a show that it literally, you know, Elvis got nervous before. I've heard Priscilla in interviews saying that she before a show, like for an hour or two before, she couldn't even enter his dressing room.
Right.
He had to be alone to get himself prepared, you know, for the and nobody. That's why it's called an act, because the nerves are hidden, you know, before performing on stage. They're just covering it up.
Reading about him.
The show at Germany at the weekend, I had to run to the toilet, you know, back and forth.
As long as you're not copying it everywhere. Reading about him, I felt sorry for him. You know, I felt sorry for him. He's a bloke on his own, right? But surrounded by all these yes men, constantly, you know, taking medication, but it's speed, basically. You know, I feel sorry for him. Jim, what is coming up next?
Where can we see you?
You got more shows and stuff?
Well, I'm off to Germany at the end of this month again. At a private thing tomorrow night, private function. At the end of June, I've got gigs throughout June, but at the end of June, I'm doing a special thing in the Belfast Grand Opera House, which is called For Action Ability Belfast, which is a cast. They've ran it for the last 11 years, well, before the pandemic hit. And they take a theme like ABBA or Grease or Dirty Dancing. And the cast is made up of people with Down syndrome and you know, learning difficulties and the whole cast, and it's scripted, but it can also be spontaneous and quite funny. And so I've got that coming up. We're performing as the music for the show, which is based on Elvis's catalog, and I believe it's already sold out.
Beautiful.
And then I break for July. I break for holidays, and then I'm off at the beginning of August to Luxembourg.
Wow.
I just come back from Germany, but off to Germany on the 19th of this month again. Then I'm back in Bad Nauheim in Germany, which is where Elvis was stationed, in the army. It's the European Elvis Festival held every year. I played it throughout the last 15, 20 years, you know, throughout, you know, intermittently, you know, through different years. But I played it last August also, but they've got me back that weekend there, which was the Elvis birthday celebrations. It was supposed to happen in January, but because of Omicron, I couldn't go, so it was postponed until that weekend there. But I'm back at the European Elvis Festival in Bad Nauheim, and the 12th through the 14th of August again. And then we got a confirmation for Spain.
Jesus.
At the end of...
This is brilliant.
I can see why you need to take a month off. You must be absolutely shattered.
Well, I'm getting older. I've got a six grandchild coming in November, so...
Blimey.
Move around as much as used to.
Jim,
well, I can, but,
Jim, know. It's so lovely to meet you. Stay in touch. If you're doing any gigs that we can get to, we would love to come and see and meet up. So let us know if you're doing any gigs that we're able to come and see too. Get some lessons on Zoom. But it's nice to talk to you, Jim, and we will speak to you again soon, mate. Take care. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Ian, for having me. Lovely.
It's a pleasure.
I appreciate it.
We'll see you later on. Ta-ra. Thank you. We got there.
Bye, Jim. Oh, he's going to sing.
Oh. See you later, Jim. We got there in the end, and there he's... He's singing!
Oh, God.
Here we go. We got there in the end. Technology.
Yeah.
Technology.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.